Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror Live. I'm Daniel Schein, joined by producer Todd Loya.
What's up? Good evening.
Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Krueger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we're here tonight with several new reviews for you guys. A few I know we've been excited about for a while. I'm going to say in advance, Pugs, behave. on the one. I'm just going to get it out there.
You can't tell me what to do, sir. My life matters.
Leave the future Mrs. Schein alone.
Anyway, you could be so lucky.
We know what we'll be getting out of the way first. But yeah.
Out of the way. That offends me, sir. I need to speak to your manager now.
That's that way. Like that South Park war maneuver. What is it? Operation Get Behind the Darkies? Get Bill Gates in here. Fucking Windows 98.
Yeah, all right. We're off night. For me, a very long night. I'm thrown off. So yes, we have several new movies for you today. We have a bonus review later on, and I think it's safe to say they're all kind of discussion worthy tonight, so it'll be interesting. Haven't talked about them, and I'm curious what everybody thinks. All right, fuck it, let's just get it out of the way. We're gonna do Karen first, which is the new film from writer director Coke Daniels, which is a badass name, sir.
I love
that name.
And the Oscar goes to.
There you go. There you go. It's like a wrestler name. No one's used it. Daniels. It's a cool name. Karen, a racist woman takes it as a personal mission to displace the new black family that just moved into the neighborhood, but they won't back down without a fight. Go ahead, Pugs.
So, where shall I begin? How about the first 20 seconds of this movie, and I'm already dying of laughing.
Same.
I couldn't breathe more than the other guy, and you all know what I'm talking about. So, it opens up amazingly. What's homegirl's name again from Orange and the Black?
Taryn Manning, yeah.
Karen. You can be my neighbor. I know you probably won't like me, but hey, you're all right. On a serious note, I laughed at all the wrong parts. Like, it's supposed to be sending a message, but I'm getting the inverse of it. I had a blast.
Time out. Straight up. This was not supposed to be a comedy.
I don't believe so.
No. Definitely not with it. Definitely not with like the speech we get at the end. Like I felt like that made us that was made to tell us like we were supposed to take everything seriously. And I was like, what the fuck?
I get that at the end, but see, that felt tongue in cheek to me too.
Yeah.
Dude,
that didn't feel tongue in cheek to me.
Here's the proof of what the intent was. And here we go. Don't think we all got everything out of it. Ben Crump is in this movie, and if you don't know who he is, he's the attorney for, I believe, George Floyd. I could be wrong, but several.
That's the guy.
Yeah, the real Ben Crump playing himself. So, yeah, the intent was to be serious.
Here's the mark. Here's where they hit.
Get in a miss. They might as well, they might as well have went to a black woman's house and just started pop, 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 because they missed the mark. However, if you got a dark sense of humor like we do, some of us, Dan's a little iffy at times. Well, on air anyway.
Well, yeah, he can't.
You're going to have a good time laughing your ass off. Don't take any of this too seriously. I know you're supposed to. But honestly, if you're a decent human being, you know, this ain't for you anyway. Or the real problem ain't for you anyway. Have a good time with it. Drink some Kool-Aid. Enjoy yourself. I had a blast. I'm going to revisit this often because it was that fun. So
he's going to make me do it.
Yep.
Do it.
He's going to make me do it. Pugs Dread is black, not cancel us for his jokes. So anyways, for our audio listeners, there you go.
Thank you. It took long enough. We made it a whole 5 minutes.
He's so hesitant to do it now. I miss it being a staple of the show.
I think I got to go harder. You know what?
It's going to turn into Pugs Dread as a person of color. It's okay.
Puck? Pugs Puck.
All right. So first off, I'm going to say It would have been a lot better with Bailey in the lead role, WWE Studios film.
She's and not white, Dan, so your joke's not working already.
Dude, that took me a second. Like, why? Oh, her current gimmick. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. No, anyways. So, obviously, sorry, the intention is not what we get. There is some unintentional humor here, but if they were going for some sort of serious message movie, they totally failed. This is not the Karen slasher that I was hoping we would get, because I was like, oh, that's a perfect gimmick. You know, just a Karen, like, hacking through people and cracking one-liners. That's what I want.
I mean, she was cracking one-liners.
A few. But
she wasn't slashing enough for Dan.
It wasn't. Days. Yeah, it wasn't.
There were too funny. Many of them living by the end for Dan. I agree.
So, anyways, yes, it wasn't quite what I had hoped it would be. It's too stupid to be taken seriously, yeah. And it's too serious to enjoy as a comedy. It just doesn't.
What are
work.
You talking about? Yeah. I call crazy on that shit.
For me, it missed any mark it was going for. I will say this. I like Taryn Manning a lot. I thought she was a good villain. I liked all the actors. I didn't really have any issues with any actor. Some things felt a little weird because it got sinister at one point, especially when they see the footage of their house in her house. And then it seems like they calm down again. Did you notice that? I thought that was very weird where they were like, at a certain point, like they were trying to almost get along with her again. And it was like, that seems like you're way past that point. Did you get that? You
see, there were some tone shifts, but I was having too good of a time left.
I don't think they were necessarily trying to get along with her. But if you're interacting with a neighbor or something like that, you're not going to want a bunch of bullshit either if you just moved to the place. I mean, especially if it's the first house that you've bought in and, like, you know, you have a mortgage now, so you can't, you know, just move if you have a shitty neighbor. I mean, it's probably, I don't know. I get what you're saying, but also at the same time, I've dealt with shitty neighbors and you kind of want to make the peace and not deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Been there too. So
yep. We've all dealt with Karens too.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying we've all dealt with Karens. I've had a really bad Karen in my neighbor. Never? Had somebody that bitched about the trash cans, which at least that's in this movie. Or
if they did, they wouldn't tell anyone else.
Yeah, probably when I was younger. But
I've had a wrestling Karen smack me in the face before.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I scared. It's a pretty short story, but and she was married to a worker, which was made no sense. But yeah, she I scared her kid, and I didn't intentionally do it. But she sat in the front row, and I was making my entrance, and I turned away and looked at her, and she straight up assaulted me in front of everybody.
Well, now first off, if she's a worker, the kid. If she's a worker's old lady, why is she in the front row?
I'm not saying she was a cool one. obviously not. She smacked me in the fucking face and she knew me. Like, it was
Were you tempted to live the gimmick and just...
Oh, dude, I wanted the big booter in the fucking face, to be honest.
Well, like, I thought it was a work. It was his old lady.
But yeah, we've all dealt with Karens, and it can be a nightmare. I've had
Karens can raise a good point every now and again. When she was at their party, I'm like, answer the question, black people.
Sure, but like when you're like a few days past when you should mow, and she's knocking on your door.
Oh, she can go fucking die.
So I have had the kid. This is pre-meme and everything, but. Yeah, I don't know. This just wasn't the fun, goofy they could have done it serious too. But I don't know.
You keep saying not fun. It's fun, damn it.
It's the white.
I am going to push hard for a commentary on this. So.
Oh my god, I'm 100% down.
I mean, yeah, I'm with that.
Like, it might have to be Patreon exclusive. So let us know in the comments or chats wherever if you want that from us. And if you want Dan there, because he's going to fight back on it.
Another thing, too, like after they were busted and the video was everywhere, I thought it was a little unrealistic. I know they tried to make this shadow organization cop group, but it seemed odd. it seemed odd that they were still that cop was still operating, and it just a lot of the story just didn't quite gel or make sense to me. But I just wanted Karen to kill some people. Like if she had whipped out a chainsaw and killed like the kids that were filming her, that would have been hilarious.
The movie needed some nooses. So Ben Grimm said, "I dated an undercover Karen one time. Didn't know until one time she tried to return something 90 days after purchase. Broke up right after." Right on.
Well, unless she throws a fit about it when they tell her no, I'd say not a Karen. But
it was past the 90 days. She should know better.
Oh, Karen. Passed. Okay. Yes. Yeah. All right. Then, yeah, fair enough. So the highlight is Taryn Manning, though.
I have a question for you, Dan. Had you been that 17-year-old boy with those neighbors looking out that window, even I was like, lucky boy. Look at him go. Would you have loved that, Dan? I think you would have.
Would I be a pervert and spy on my neighbors is what you're asking?
Yes, exactly what I'm asking.
It's not going to go on the record and say this, but you know.
I have a story. There was this guy.
Legally, he can't answer the question. My bad.
This other guy. So he had a neighbor, this dude, Keith, who was like just like Grizzly Adams. He'd always wear like these overalls everywhere. And, actually, respect. He was banging the neighborhood MILF, and one day it was around Christmas time, and everybody could see Santa. It was so weird. He was walking around just like fucking buck ass naked in her house, and I was like, "Good for you." Didn't want to see your dick, Keith, but
good for you. Dan has a bad habit of bringing on people we don't want to see their dicks, but. Nobody remembers what I'm talking about.
It was a nudist review thing, and all right, it didn't go how I expected, but all right, it was still a good interview.
But fucking National Geographic's next door. You're down with that shit, aren't you?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
What did you guys think of Karen?
Well, I fucking loved it. Also, I'm still kind of flabbergasted that this thing was not a comedy.
Yeah.
I completely thought it was like that speech at the end. I was like, Jesus Christ, they're really trying to do this. I thought they were making fun of all those, you know, message movies, I guess. I thought it was hysterical. I don't know what Dan's smoking. I think the white guilt was showing. He's just like, oh, I'm offended.
Those poor people.
I just, it was hysterical. I can't wait to do a commentary now. Yes. we got to get Dan hammered for that. So
he'll perfect.
It'd probably be a funny commentary. I mean, I wouldn't call this movie boring. It just didn't. I don't know. It didn't come together. Wouldn't you all agree? You would have rather they just gone silly with it because it's
pretty silly to me.
No, I think that's
tension.
That's kind of where like my problem is like. Like, I was entertained by the movie. I thought it was, you know, actually fairly funny just because everything seemed so over the top. But then, and like, I initially had thought, like, oh, we're kind of, you know, poking fun at, you know, how over the top everything is. But then you have that message at the end. You're like, oh, shit. Like, that wasn't supposed to be funny at all. And I mean, that kind of hinders, like, how much I enjoy. Because, like, if they would have knew what they were doing and it was self-aware. That would have been one thing, but it's really not. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know how you watch this and you don't find it comical how over the top everything is. But
it's as subtle as a garlic sandwich.
My whole thing is I was entertained by it. I didn't fucking like, I'm not like clamoring to go rewatch it. A commentary would be funny. But outside of something like that, I probably won't ever watch it again. I didn't like it, but I was entertained. I say watch it high as fuck and see what you think. It did make for a fun high watch, but that was about it, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't love it. I did find it funny, but outside of it, you know, being so over the top, it's a no for me, dog.
I think that makes it even more entertaining that it was a perfect storm of, like, they were trying to be serious and this is where we hit.
Yeah.
That makes it even funnier. I hope the BET Plus films Are like our next Lifetime movies. I'm all in. If so.
And they're just like this. I mean, I would watch them, like, to be honest with you. Like, that's the whole thing. I'm not mad I watched this movie at all. Even though I'm going to give it a shit rating, I was entertained as fuck. So there's that.
You could have had, like, Ben Crump take Karen out or something, like, just like, at least if you're gonna get him in the movie, it could have been. It's like I sent him to death, and then he like throws her off a building, just like Die Hard homage. Something.
Now, I was kind of hoping like she would have got, you know, without spoiling anything, I wish she would have got it better in the end. Yeah. Let's just put that.
My
Karen
only-
too.
The only thing that would have improved this for me was if her brother cop was Kevin Gage.
So. See, like, dude. Now you know who needs to be in the next Karen? Chris Rock. Like, that's what he's perfect for. After fucking what he did with Spiral, go do Karen too.
I'd watch the shit out of Chris Rock.
I still prefer him not to be involved, but if he's like Janet Leigh or fucking Drew Barrymore. Awesome. Let's do that.
But Dan, what did you think? Are you just trying to avoid talking about it?
I did. I gave my opinions. Yeah, it just needed to settle on a tone, and it didn't. There are some pluses, though. Taryn Manning, I thought, was fantastic. If I were to do a Karen slasher my way, I'd probably still cast her. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
So.
I'm shocked Tiffany Shepis, but
oh fuck yeah. I'm shocked we've gone 17 minutes on Karen. I didn't think it's
gonna go. Remember I said maybe we do this with last, it's gonna take longer. That's what my gut said. So on that note, we should probably rate it.
Yeah. Yes. 0 to 5 stars. I give it a 1 for Taryn Manning.
What a racist. I'm a 4. I had too much fun with it.
God damn.
4 out of 5, yeah. Dude, that opening scene alone.
I am a half a point, so 0.5 out of 5.
Well, Pugs, don't worry. I got your back. It's a 4 for me.
That's right.
You know, I could give it 5 for entertainment, but I'm not because I love it.
Had that ending not been there, a 5 would be considered.
I'm glad we threw this one in last minute.
I wonder what month we're going to do this Patreon special.
Anyway. We have another particular film from the director of Heavy Metal we'll do, too. I'm not allowed to say
it. I know what it is. All right. So moving on to our next film of the evening, which is from director Sion Sono. And that is Prisoners of the Ghostland. And in this film, in the treacherous frontier city of Samurai Town, a ruthless bank robber played by Nicolas Cage is sprung from jail by a wealthy warlord whose adopted granddaughter Bernice has run away. Strapped into a leather suit that will self-destruct within 5 days if he doesn't find the missing girl, the bandit sets off on a journey to find the young woman and his own path to redemption. All right, so Kruger, you're a big Nicolas Cage guy, especially lately. So what did you think of Prisoners of the Ghostland?
Yeah, I was definitely looking forward to this one big time. Anytime Cage is on screen, I'm gonna check it out. And first thing I'll say, this is a pretty gorgeous looking film. I thought the cinematography actually was really strong in a lot of areas. Performance wise, Cage is great as our main character. I mean, he cages it up tenfold in this fucking movie, and they play to him, you know, him just being absolutely ridiculous tenfold. And I enjoyed that a lot. I also really like Bill Moseley as a governor character. But the acting and line delivery into some areas is kind of lacking. And I wasn't crazy about some of the dialogue and the more out there scenes. I did really like the setting of Samurai Town, though. You know, it kind of gave you this samurai Western feel to it. And, you know, the movie doesn't take long to bring us into the action. And once we, you know, get the setup with Bill Moseley's character hiring Cage to return his missing granddaughter, the film just goes completely all over the fucking place and gets just absolutely batshit ridiculous in both good and bad ways. Like, the tone of the movie doesn't take itself seriously at all, which I did like, but there is a good portion of the humor that was unfunny to me. That being said, there is one part that I fucking literally cried laughing. I mean, it got me so fucking bad. So I'll talk about that in spoilers. And I also thought, you know, the absurdity of having Cage have bombs, you know, attached to all these different parts of his fucking body, including his testicles. I mean, so that's a great...
Kruger, I got to correct you. As Bill Moseley said, one in each testicule.
Yeah, I mean, like, just the absurdity of that alone. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting in for. And I did like that. And, you know, I had a lot of fun watching him go on his little adventure, as bizarre as it, you know, was. It wasn't all great, but it definitely has its moments. If there's one thing this movie excels at, I thought it was set design and costume design. Like, there's some really cool looking visuals we get throughout the movie. Unfortunately, you know, the story kind of travels a little too far into the nether at some point, and you're kind of like, what the fuck is actually going on? But it did bring it back towards the end for me, where, you know, the final act I thought was pretty strong. There was, you know, some pretty badass fight sequences we got, including Nicolas Cage and his stunt double. That was like hilariously obvious. I mean, that was fucking great. So overall, you know, the only way to describe this movie is Nicolas Cage caging it up tenfold in an artsy as fuck samurai Western with a ludicrous plot point that doesn't make sense at all. If that sounds like something you would be into, I think you're gonna have fun with this movie. I personally didn't love it, but regardless of my faults with it, I'm still gonna rewatch this, and I did like a lot about it. And I think next time I watch Willy's Wonderland, I'm gonna warm myself up with this one because it is just absolutely batshit insane. But what about you, Pugs?
Well, I think you liked it more than me. However, it is a fucking fantastic looking movie. The Cage's suit is fucking hilarious, and all the bump the lights where the bombs are. There's one scene in particular where I did drop my jaw. I was like, oh, that hurt. So positive, very, very positive. We have a face-off reunion here. Nick Cassavetes and Nick Cage. So right there, I'm like, this movie's awesome. Don't give a fuck what happens. And but no, I was entertained by it, but Curry really didn't love the movie, so maybe I like it as much as you.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is I didn't love it, but I was definitely entertained, and it's something that's so ridiculous that I'm gonna rewatch it you know, when I want to have a Cage night.
Yeah. It gets wild, so I appreciate that, because I was never bored. I did roll my eyes a couple times about certain things. We can talk to that in spoilers. But yeah, I think it's cool. Cage is still on his A game. So, fuck yeah. Prisoners look awesome. I do like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the film is absolutely beautiful. And before I get into it, first I want to say the director, Sion Sono, is fantastic. I've been a fan for, I mean, God, probably going on 20 years. Strange Circus, Noriko's Dinner Table, Suicide Club, Cold Fish, yeah. Love Exposure. I mean, he has made a lot of Guilty of Romance. He has made a lot of excellent movies, and you really should dive into his filmography. I was really happy to see him taking on a bigger American movie like this, because he's just fantastic. And this is, you know, certainly not a cheap film, as Kruger said. The set design is fantastic. I think a lot of people may enjoy this that didn't enjoy Pig, which I do think Pig is the better movie. But, you know, I think there was that group of Cage fans that wanted it to be just wild Nick Cage. This is wild Nick Cage. This movie from beginning to end is just insane, from the dubbing, which it kind of works for it. Again, if you're looking for something just kind of weird, all of a sudden, a geisha out of nowhere will have like a West Virginia accent and call Nick Cage a cocksucking motherfucker, which I thought, or let me see your balls. And there's a lot to enjoy here. You know, in about the first 5 minutes, what kind of movie you're getting. And, you know, I was okay with it. Is this his best film, Asono's best film? Not even close. I think I prefer most of the ones that I just mentioned. But I enjoyed it. I mean, you see Cage in a sumo outfit. You see Cage fighting zombie mutants. You see Cage doing all sorts of crazy shit. And maybe they could have dialed it back a little bit at a certain point. But hey, it is what it is. And I think this is one. Take an edible and just enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, perfect high movie. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely stand by that for sure. If you get baked as fuck watching this shit, I think you'll have a great time and definitely laugh your ass off.
There's some drinking games. I mean, at one point, Nick Cage goes, "Hi fucking yeah!" before
he dies.
"Hi fucking no!" And he doesn't just do it once. He keeps doing it over. He goes, "Hi fucking yeah! Hi fucking yeah!" Like, that's fucking awesome. I mean, they play into him being ridiculous, and that's the one thing I like the most about it, for sure. What about you, Todd?
Cage called it the craziest movie he's ever done. So yeah. That tells you something.
Yeah, miss for me. No Suicide Club.
Suicide Club's so good.
It was one of those that felt more style over substance. It was just like whacked out to be whacked out. I even with everything going on, I was clock watching. I was like, Jesus, when's this done?
Based off reunion, Todd.
Complete miss for me. Yeah, I don't really have anything. Like, you guys nailed it with how good it looks, and that's why I said style over substance. But I don't know if it's just me wanting something different from Cage and Mosley together, that it wasn't at all what I would have wanted. I don't know if that's
hurting. They would have been together more often. I want them on the same fucking team. But
I
wanted sinister Bill Mosley. Like, I think they could have still had this tone, but still had nasty, mean Bill Mosley.
Fucking Southern Mosley is the shit.
I was going to say 2001 Maniacs, 2002 Maniacs. Wait, which 2001?
He was in the second one, 2002.
Yeah. Field of Screams. Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus, whatever that one is.
Although they should team up, too, and make one. Robert Englund and Mosley. I've watched the fucking shit out of that. They should be Southern Brothers.
Well, they played the same character, but hey.
I'm in a different movie. Well, fuck. It is in the South, right?
There you go.
Family strokes.
So, but like I said, it's a beautiful film. I mean, I still... it's just going to depend on the viewer on this one.
Yeah. I say if you're in the... Like, if you don't like artsy shit, you're not going to like this one. I mean, I feel like if you're not into artsy movies that, you know, necessarily make complete sense, if everything needs to make sense to you and you're not into, I think Todd put it best, style over substance. There's a lot of it in this movie. So if that's not your bag, you're not going to have a good time.
Okay. I'm predicting Todd's going to give it one testicle.
Maybe I'll Candyman it now. All right. Well, before we rate it, does anyone have anything else on this one?
No, I think we pretty much said it. It's not a slow moving movie or anything. There's plenty of action. Just expect the weird. All right, Kruger, what do you give it?
I am a 3 out of 5 with room to grow. Because I think the more times I see this movie, I think I'll like it more and more, especially now that I know what I'm getting into next time I view it. What about you, Pugs?
I was going to go with a 2.5, but Face Off Reunion, it's going to get a 3 for me. So, yeah. And Dan, I would love for you to get a white hat and a suit just like Bill Mosley. I think you can pull that look off.
Definitely. New hat.
Where are you going to buy a white suit?
I don't know. That's your problem.
Well, I am A2.
Okay.
Okay. All right, a full set there for Todd. I am also A3. It could probably be even higher if you're on something, but guys, please
didn't help me.
Please look into Sono's filmography. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't even name drop everything. I mean, he has made a lot of really good films, and I'm a big fan. This isn't his best work, but it's still a very well made weird ass movie. So I like it. All right, so moving on to our next film, which is we're gonna get another one of these soon from the unholy company that is Blumhouse, but this is the animated Night of the Animated Dead. Apologize, it's not even the first animated one, so I was trying not to mess up the title. From director Jason Axon, and all right, so in this one, siblings Barbara and Johnny visit their father's grave in a remote cemetery in Pennsylvania when they are suddenly set upon by zombies. Barbara flees and takes refuge in an abandoned farmhouse along with stranded motorist Ben and four local survivors found hiding in the cellar. Together, the group must fight to stay alive against the oncoming horde of zombies while also confronting their own fears and prejudices.
I think you could have just said it's Night of the Living Dead anime.
You're ignorant.
That more or less covers it.
But and it said, I know what you said earlier about it not being the first animated one. The other one's an experimental film where they gave people like 10 minutes to do whatever they wanted with. I think that's a little different than an actual animated film, which... True.
It might actually be the third. I'd have to double check that, but yeah.
There are a couple weird experimental ones that are like, yeah. they're not traditionally animated, but they gave people, you know.
The at one point I wrote a Night of the Living Dead script. So I actually, I changed a lot of shit though, but that's another story.
I would like to see that, man.
Uh-oh, we can do another Misadventure episode.
Honestly, if
we could radio play,
find it, that would be one I wouldn't mind somebody reading because it wasn't bad. Most of my stuff I wouldn't, but that
I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, there's some weird shit. But anyway,
I don't doubt it.
So, this one very much tells the story you've seen, but it does add a lot of gore in this one. There's actually quite a bit. You know, you get some of the same sequences. I mean, spoilers are kind of light on this anyways, because again, right. I think you've all seen Night of the Living Dead, but they repeat a lot of the iconic stuff, with more gore. This one sticks to the original. Barbara's still kind of useless in this one and catatonic, so you don't get Rambo Barbara.
Thank God. No, wait.
Which...
Sorry, Chris.
I like the remake.
I do too. I just,
yeah, me too.
I honestly thought this was gonna be from like they're just gonna take the sound from the original and just animate that.
That's what they did with that other one. Other ones I was saying, the experimental film.
Yeah, I never seen those. But that's when you guys told me to watch this, I was like, oh, unnecessary but cool.
Yeah, I was thought that was kind of lame too. We do get a good voice cast though. We've got Catherine Isabel as Barbara, Josh Duhamel as Harry Cooper, who Cooper was right as always.
Another psych reunion.
Was right. He's a fucking dick. Yes. Kruger was about to say something.
No,
sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to say
Harry Cooper not right.
He's white. You're right. I was going to say it's another psych reunion on this one because we have Dule Hill and James Roday Rodriguez. Yeah, I got to remember his last one now. So,
oh, yeah, the new name, right? The rebranding? Yeah. Fucking guy. Fucking
some weird ones, too. Will Sasso is the sheriff's voice. You get some.
I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
You get some cool.
Nancy voice Travis.
Actors. Yeah. We get. Like I said, there's everything's here. You get the random bear-assed zombie shows up. Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes down the line. But I wouldn't say pointless necessarily. It's animated.
I said unnecessary, not pointless, sir.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Three from Hell, where I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but unnecessary.
Yeah, it's another way to see a classic story. I mean, I was fine with it. Unless you're a diehard Night of the Living Dead fan, do you need to see it? No, not really. I mean,
but if you've never seen it, also, it's not a bad way to get introduced to the property.
Yeah, especially if you're a young horror fan, that I think I could easily
see. I'm not saying go that way, but it's not a bad gateway.
Todd, you can find out for us.
Kruger, it is.
Yeah.
The gore. I'm curious on your take.
Well, no, see, like the gore, that definitely the added gore was one of the most, you know, impressive things about the story and everything brought to life. My whole thing is I didn't like the animation really that much at all. I didn't like the art style. And when stuff was in motion, I don't know, the way the stuff was just, the framing looked off and it looked, I don't know, it didn't look smooth enough for me in comparison to some of, I mean, I watch a lot of animated stuff to be fair. So like,
do you watch Archer by chance?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Because that's what I think the same is. What is it called?
Cellmation?
Is that? I think it's Cellmation. Or Limited? Yeah. I don't remember.
Whatever it is. Yeah, that style. That's what I look
like. Like, what if? Yeah,
that just, I wasn't a fan of the art style or, you know, the way this stuff was animated. I personally thought the voice acting was pretty fucking weak, to be honest with you. I thought it sounded like a lot of people were reading straight off of a script, and it really took me out of the whole experience quite a bit. Overall, like, I didn't hate it, but it's not anything I'd probably ever revisit. And Night of the Living Dead's one of my favorite zombie movies. So, I love the added gore aspect of this, but I just wish it had a better art style and the animation was just, you know, of better quality, in my opinion, because that hurt it along with the voice acting too. But I say check it out if you enjoy Night of the Living Dead for sure, because the added gore is a cool way to see the story unfold. But outside of the added gore, I don't think added anything new, right?
When Ben explains the memory of what happened to him, they flash back to it in that was the part that I liked a lot. I was like, oh shit, we get to see this. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, there are a couple things.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm with you, Kruger, because like if I'm gonna reach for something for a Night of the Living Dead, this will be the last one I choose. Yeah. But I did have fun with it. I think it's great. I like the style, so that part didn't bother me. The gore was fucking great. So it won't be the first one I reach for, but because Night of the Living Dead is a fucking classic. I'm always down to watch that movie.
Yeah. I'll take this though over like that terrible British one they did, or Night of the Living Dead 3D.
Whoa.
Don't you defend Night of the Living Dead.
I will 3D. Defend that. Have you watched in 3D?
He's a 3D guy, Dan.
and it's Prestige 3D, if I recall. No.
But the second one is way better. Like this reanimation with...
Yeah, Andrew Devoff and Jeffrey Combs. Yeah, that was actually decent was really film. Good.
But anyway, I'm not going to suck the 3D cock right now. I thought you were going to say it's better than that anniversary edition that Jesus Christ, that John Russo put together, Anchor Bay put out.
The dark one? Right? Wasn't it like dark blue? Everyone's complaining it was dark blue?
No. That is the remake one. The one where they filmed all that added footage and like John Russo's like 50 or like 80 years old. You know the one I'm talking about, Dan, right?
I don't remember this.
There was that. Then there was Code Red put out a weird cut of it too that was strange, but
yeah, I got that too. Maybe we should I'll torture. If Pugs has never seen that version, he should watch it. But we'll talk
about it. I'm down.
Yeah. Well, and we're getting, you know, here you always accuse me of never saying something nice about Bloom. I am actually excited for Night of the Living Dead because it's from Harry Cooper's point of view. I suppose.
I didn't even hear about that. That
this is news to me.
Of course, now Dan's gonna like it.
Explain to Ben, got them all killed. I mean, if they had listened to Cooper,
I'm not saying not an asshole. Together, they probably would have been.
What's always right, Dan? What's always right, Dan? Come on, say it.
Shut up, Todd. He was right. Cooper.
Yes, he was white.
He was an asshole, but he was not wrong. All right. So.
Fuck that guy.
I didn't say he was a good person. I'm just saying there'd be less bodies if they had listened to him.
Or if they would have listened to Ben and actually worked together, like Kruger said.
They still would have died.
No, because he was fighting the process the whole time.
He's a wrench in the fucking gears. Fuck that guy.
We didn't believe in the plan.
And look where we are today in the real world. So,
all right, Kruger, do you have anything else before we rate this one?
No, let's just rate this bitch. I'll go first. I'm a 2.5 out of 5. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either, and I don't think I'll ever revisit it. What about you, Pokes?
I'm a 3.5. I like the gore and stuff. I'll revisit it, but it will not be my first reach.
You know, they tell me the exact same story, minus a couple little things that were kind of cool that they added on. I wish they had just picked one thing and gone a totally different direction and I could go higher. As it is, I'm giving it a 3. I'll revisit it again. I love this story. Night of the Living Dead's timeless. And, you know, hey, I'll pick this up when it comes to Blu-ray.
Couple weeks.
What say you, Todd?
I'm a 3.5 also. I did really like this, and I actually like the animation style. But it, you know, it just made me want a Dawn of the Dead one.
That's what I thought you guys were talking about when you said Blum's bringing out, or someone's bringing out a new one. I was like, oh, we're gonna get fucking animated Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. Fuck yeah! I'm still down for that. By the way, if you guys want to make that, please take my money. And land.
I am very much looking forward to the new Day of the Dead series, though, because our boy Steven Kostanski is working on that motherfucker, and it looks like it's going to be, like, just batshit insane by the trailers. Like, not take itself seriously at all and just have a bunch of zombie fun with a bunch of gore and fun effects, so I'm pretty down for that.
It looks more Z-Nation than the original Day of the Dead, so... which isn't necessarily a bad thing. We like Z Nation. Z Nation was just good B movie, B TV fun.
That's a big week. We got Chucky and Day of the Dead, both that same week because this one drops on the 15th, and Chucky's on the 13th.
12th.
12th. 12th. 12th. Yeah.
Yes.
On top of all the other shit that's getting released. God,
since you said it that as a tease, we will be doing a show that night on Chucky. So. Stay tuned. Just shortly after it ends, we're going to be going live and talking about it. All right. So we got two more movies, but one more horror review tonight. And that is from director Sean King O'Grady. And that is We Need to Do Something. After Melissa and her family seek shelter from a storm, they become trapped. With no sign of rescue, Melissa comes to realize that she and her girlfriend, Amy, might have something to do with the horrors that threaten her family. Okay, so this is actually based on a Max Boof III novella that I'm actually ordering now because I'm really sort of curious to see the differences movie versus book. So unfortunately, I can't compare it right now. So I know there's already apparently a lot of people that don't like this. I haven't really read reviews, but I know people are complaining. And I think it might have something to do with the tone early on. There's a lot of, I think maybe they didn't get the humor. There's a lot of family bickering and at the beginning that it may not quite have gelled with people who wanted a more... serious dramatic tone throughout the whole thing. They do get there though. I mean, this deals with some heavy stuff, including, you know, self-mutilation and it gets crazier and crazier as we go along. I actually liked it a lot. I was surprised that apparently this one isn't very well liked. I don't know what you guys thought, but
I like to is it like the Mother, like when Mother came out, everyone's like, what the fuck is this? Is that, you think that's why people don't like it? Because I fucking love Mother. And I, spoiler, I really like this movie too.
Yeah, it could be. I reveled in the weirdness. I mean, yeah. We do get a sort of cameo. Not a spoiler because he's in the cast, but I'll just say a famous rock star. Good boy. Oh. That scene was so cool. But I get it. Like, I do get it at the same time. This is just not going to please everyone.
To me, it was like anxiety driven. Like, the longer I stick with this, the fucking more antsy I'm getting because it was just so intense for me. Yeah, and I don't know, watching it, I just felt like, oh, this is what Mother is. This is going to get fucking gnarly by the end. And it got fucking crazy. Like, I was discombobulated. I need a fucking drink after it. I don't even drink. I like this movie quite a bit.
Did you like Pat Healy? He's always good.
Cheap Thrills?
Cheap Thrills. I was going to bring up Cheap Thrills, yeah.
Oh, dude, the one he has a hard time seeing and the wife points at, oh, fucking Yabos from Hocus Pocus. Fuck yeah. She's like, well, you've been doing this the entire time. I laughed my ass off. I'm like, yeah. But then he turns around. I'm like, holy shit, look at you. Fuck, I think it's crazy. It's nuts. I understand, like, people maybe not like loving it, but like not hating on it because it's, I don't know. But I love Mother too, so maybe I got Dan on my side, but let's see what the other guys like.
I love these types of stories. I really do.
Nuts. Yeah.
I'm most curious about Kruger's opinion. Because
it is winning.
Yeah.
It is winning, Kruger.
All right, so I'll say it's a good looking film. And I did like the cast for the most part. Pat Healy is always great. I really liked him in Cheap Thrills. And Sierra McCormick, we just saw her in American Horror Stories, and she was pretty good there. And we also saw her in VFW from last year, and she was really good in that too. So
she's the next Millie Bobby Brown, dude. I'm telling you, she's everywhere.
Well, I think she's a little older than that, but.
But I mean, like, how she just started popping up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's her. Yeah.
No, I get what you mean. I did not like Bobby at all. I thought that child actor was shit, to be honest with you. He bothered the shit out of me. I didn't think his performance was good. I thought he kind of hurt the movie for me with some of his line delivery. Granted.
Imagine him on the spectrum. You're okay.
What do you mean?
He's a little autistic or Asperger's. Like, he did not seem like he had playing with a full deck of cards.
Oh, well.
He's a hard R and you're okay.
Regardless, I wasn't a fan of him, of his performance. And or the characters, I mean, they're not necessarily the most likable people. I will say they are very relatable, though, especially if you have grown up in a dysfunctional family. definitely relatable, especially how people were reacting to certain situations. You already brought one up, Pugs. They did a good job with that in the story. And the whole idea of, you know, being trapped in the bathroom without any food or water and you can't get out. I mean, and not knowing what's going on outside. I think that was really strong portion of the movie, but we kind of don't get, they leave it ambiguous and that it can either work for me or not. And, this time it didn't with what we got in the ending. I also wasn't really a fan of how, the daughter and the flashback sequences we got, how that kind of tied into the story, but it kind of didn't. Maybe you guys can explain that better to me in spoilers. Maybe I just didn't get it. But overall, I didn't really care for it. I did like some things about it, but I think the final act is where it kind of falls apart with me because we're kind of left on, okay, well, we still don't know what the fuck is happening.
I am going to get that book, and if it elaborates more, I don't know, but I haven't really read Max Boof. Yeah, actually I think I did read one story of his, but I am really curious. I like the weirdness. I really did in this one, and it does build to the shit does hit the fan too. I don't want to imply that it's just, you know,
there was weirdness. I thought they just should have listened to Dad and they all would have been fine. But I will say he was a dedicated alcoholic. The fucking mouthwash. I've never sucked on hand wipes in my life. But, hey, now you got tricks. just in case.
The NyQuil thing cracked me the fuck up, and you couldn't save any for me.
Improvise, adapt, overcome.
He's a Marine. Oh, man.
Okay, well, I'm in the loved it camp. I actually have a question for you in spoilers, Kruger, because, well, yeah, I'll say. Yeah, you guys like nailed, like, well, Pugs and Dan, I'm on with them. I like the acting, I like the story, I like the craziness.
I like the characters too.
Yeah, and the characters. Well, like I think Kruger said,
they were real.
They're real. That's like the best thing about it. Like, yeah. I related with the dad for a little bit, not the whole time. But I
was laughing at some inappropriate moments too.
Oh, the pee montage.
No, that was fine. But when I don't want to ruin it. But there's a certain point where they're trying to fit something through a door. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Yes,
I was dying. We'll bring that up more later. Yeah. Oh, the dog scene. Yeah, that Ben just brought up the dog scene.
Oh, yes. That was really good. That was really good.
I've seen that done before, though. Like, so it didn't really impress me that much. I can't think of exactly where I have seen it, but I've seen that exact scenario play out in another movie before.
Hmm. Well, do we want to just rate this one, or you guys got more on this? I know there's some spoilers on this one.
I will just say, if you're watching this at some point, things evolve. I'm very excited to read the book now because I'm curious what the differences are, but things do evolve. I actually, when it's done right, I kind of like these trapped in a small
I'm with you.
Setting sort of stories. I think they work quite well. But yeah, I hope this finds its audience and becomes a cult favorite because I love it. I love it a lot. I give it 4.5.
Oh, shit. Dan, we are on the same page. I'm a 4.5 out of 5 as well.
God damn it. I hate agreeing this much. I am 4.5 also.
And I am 2.5.
Okay. Kruger, have you seen Mother?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I need to rewatch it.
Okay. I
know what scene you're talking about. Yeah. And initially, like when I watched it, I did like that, but I don't know. It didn't necessarily work for me, but I need to watch it again because I have like opened my mind to more artistic stuff. I don't know what it was with this. I really wanted to answer to what the fuck was going on. I think I was more invested in the mystery of the story than anything else. The mystery and the characters. I wanted a definite answer, and I never got one. So that's probably, I think, what hurt it the most for me.
All right. On that note, Dan, before you start doing your hard sell, I want to say next week we'll be on at a later time. I think 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll be on later next week.
Cool.
Flesh wound late night. That works.
All right. Now do your hard sell, Dan.
Absolutely. All right. So I did want to put over a non-horror film, actually, that I just got back from a couple days ago.
I forgot we were going to talk about that.
I
forgot. Go ahead. No, I said I forgot
about that. Hard sell was. So it is from writer-director John Polano, who also wrote the play that this movie was based on. And it is Small Engine Repair. And this basically follows three lifelong friends who are brought together under kind of false pretenses after a falling out to do a favor. I'll just put it that way. I don't want to elaborate anymore because I think even the synopsis does, but a favor for the guy that runs this small engine repair shop. And I really liked this one a lot. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was. It's kind of it kind of starts off as almost like a buddy hangout, dark comedy sort of thing. I guess I would describe it as a coming of age, late in life kind of movie, if that makes sense. And I really enjoy it. It gets crazy, like, at one point. I mean, a lot of this is, like, just dialogue-driven, just three buddies hanging out, starting fights, and, you know, getting into trouble. The acting doesn't get any better. I think John Bernthal, of course, from Walking Dead and Punisher, everybody knows him. We also get Shea Whigham, who is one of the most underrated actors out there today, and also the director, John Polano, I believe, is in this as well. And I absolutely love it. I don't want to give anything away. This is one of these smaller films that's not going to be in theaters very long. So if you have a showing of it, I highly recommend you take advantage of it. I laughed. Then when things get touching, you know, it pulls at the heartstrings a little bit. And at one point gets kind of fucked up. Todd, I know you saw it. What did you think? Do you give it the recommendation that I
gave? I agree. I give it two pancakes up.
If you've seen it, you will laugh.
No, yeah, it's definitely worth. Like Dan said, it's not a horror film, but it's got some genre stuff in there, I think. It's worth your time if you're, you know, just a fan of cinema. It's really good. So it's probably one of the better films I've seen this year out of the horror genre.
Outside the horror genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It has thriller elements, I guess. But again, I would dark comedy buddy sort of thing that packs a wallop when it gets to a certain point. But I hope people will go and see this. I hear Cop Shop's really good too. So there are some films out in between a lot of these blockbusters that are worth seeing, because I had a really, really good time. I don't know if I've ever seen John Bernthal better, and you get to see him play a different role here. He's not just the badass. I mean, he's funny. He gets to really do comedy, and I enjoyed that a lot.
And I think Dan is overselling the comedy. It's not like a comedy. It has humorous elements.
Yeah, it felt real.
Yeah,
it felt real, and you know these guys, and there is one fucking outrageous bit in this story that, holy crap, I was surprised you were able to keep quiet, Todd. You, Pugs, Kruger,
you better keep quiet, motherfucker.
I'm going to watch it soon. Quiet. See it in theaters if you can, man. It's really good. So, yeah, highly recommend it. I give it a 5. I loved it.
I can't argue with that, because I was going between 4.5 and 5, but I did love it. I'm with Dan on. God damn it!
That's a lot. Yeah.
I just want to drop it to 4.5 just because of it. But yeah, I'd give it a 5. It is. I think it's a great film.
I lined up more with Kruger today, actually. Maybe until the end. Then I think we differed. But so we'd have to do the tallies.
You lined up with me, dude.
Oh, dude. I'll do the tally. I think Kruger and I maybe won that one.
I think you should watch this back, Dan.
I will watch it.
All right. Well, now hard sell this.
Hard as in promote?
Pimp or shit,
Pimp or shit. Okay, cool. I was like, did I forget something? Yes. All right, guys. So get on our Discord. It is very, very active right now. And I think you guys will have a lot of
Ben
fun.
Ben Grimm, watch the Clockwork Orange. What the fuck?
You haven't seen Clockwork Orange, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's on.
Wow, dude.
It gets a Todd seal of approval.
Get on that, Ben.
That's a big one, brother.
Yeah, that's kind of just
insane. We know this from Discord, so that's why that was Kruger beat me to it, because he's like, what the fuck? I was like, yeah, answer.
Yeah, get on that. We're also on Twitch, TikTok, everything. Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter. Please give us a follow, and you can follow us separately as well. And also fleshwoundfeatures.com, the links to all of our everything, including our Teespring stores there. So pick up a Halloween treat. And
we're on Instagram, because Dan always forgets it because he's not on it.
Instagram. All right. I said everything. Instagram too.
I figured around. You'd like Instagram the most because it's just pictures.
Yeah, so
just
I thought so too.
It's more like just creating another thing to have to focus on, but I will. I promise. I'm on Discord. Yeah. I am on Discord. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1, and we've got a lot of Patreon content that we've put up and are going to be putting up. It's a very active like Patreon.
Three things coming up. I know early next week, I think it is.
Yeah. Yes. So you get three more next week. And
well, there'll be more throughout October.
Yep. Our exclusive sleepaway camp shows up there and a lot of different things that you guys will want to check out. So there you go. I have pimped away.
All right. On that note, if you don't want to hear spoilers on whatever we talk about, whatever, I don't know which all films, but we're doing blah, blah, blah. Spoilers. All right.
All right.
Pugs froze up after the siren.
Hands up. Karen, is that you?
So I guess we'll start with Karen. Do you have anything on Karen?
Oh, fuck. Where do I begin?
we'll come back. Well, screw it, dude. Go ahead.
No, we can come back to it. It's fine.
I was going to do reverse order. I was just joking.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, Kruger. If the final act would have gave us a creature, would the movie have been saved?
We need to do something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That or, you know, like I was assuming maybe it was a zombie thing going on. What the fuck? Like I
thought it was
what,
aliens.
I just wanted to know what the fuck it was. Like, to be honest with you, that I was more invested. Like, I already knew, I already kind of saw where they were going with the dad fucking, you know, being completely unhinged. So like, I was more like, I already knew we were getting there, which, and I liked that portion of the movie, but
he was blind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, and I mean,
so fucking hard.
Yeah. And if you're an alcoholic, I mean, I'm with you. I've never been there, but I kind of understand, you know, having to deal with all your family bullshit. You're a hardcore alcoholic and you don't have that. You're going to resort to whatever the fuck you can do.
I'm going
to
call bullshit because a hardcore alcoholic would have stuck some booze in there with them too.
Well, fair, yeah, I would have mandied it underneath the cabinet.
Pop off water bottle, done.
Like, just raid the refrigerator right now. You don't know how long you're going to be in there. Also, bring your fucking phone charger, you moron. But
that, anyway. I do not believe for one second the teenage girl did not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was going
to. I'm surprised she didn't have a backup charger, a plug.
Yeah, power bank.
Didn't he fuck her phone up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Right. Yeah.
And then the mom.
No, right away he fucked it up.
No, he fucked Alec.
Well, he was using it to light something up on the outside, and then it dropped. And then he didn't care to pick it up because I pay for it anyway. Fuck off, team.
He was a great asshole, though.
Dude, when he was trying to push his son's head through the fucking door.
I'll tell you fucking what.
You wanted him to die, didn't you?
If they would have had him see the back of that kid's skull get crushed in with him pushing him through the door, I would have fucking fought. There you go.
I was waiting. I was like, "Oh, it's gonna happen! Oh, it's gonna happen!" But
dude, I was hoping so bad because that was another thing. Is like, I wanted the kid to die, but I was like, "All right, he could have died a little bit cooler. I wanted the death a little bit more painful. I'm sorry."
I thought it was cool though. They got him out of the way so they can get a little darker with all the other shit that was going on because you can't film some of that shit with a fucking tiny person there.
Well, I would have went a little darker, but
dude, that snake though, when they had to jump up, oh my god, I felt that. I'm like, fuck that, I'd cry. I don't like snakes. I'm in Indiana Jones. Like,
I'm blind. I don't know which one it is. My bad.
You guys may not remember this, but I was hiking and I came across like the biggest fucking snake I ever saw. Well, and then I had another time where I stepped right on one's head. I didn't even know I had my headphones in and I'm like, fuck. Luckily it didn't bite me.
You know, you just bite the head off like Ozzy. Didn't Ozzy bite a bat ever?
Dan only bites the heads of trouser snakes.
I've heard that. Yeah, he don't bite. From what I hear.
Wouldn't it have made more sense Gene Simmons in the Ozzy role? I mean, I know he just said a line, but
Gene Simmons has never bit. And no, Ozzy's the weirdo. If you want to go a second rate, go with Nikki Sixx. Well, I'm sure some people know this story, but like Nikki Sixx, like peed on some ants or whatever, and he was supposed to do something crazy. So Ozzy just pushed Nikki out of the way and fucking snorted the piss and ant right in front of him just to prove he's crazier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know about that.
Jesus fucking Ozzy's a man. Love him.
Still fucking alive somehow.
Yeah, how? He's because he's the fucking man, dude. He's a prince of dark. He's a prince of fucking darkness. Because
he made the deal with the devil a long time ago.
He looked half dead like 25 years ago.
He was wrong. They were medicating him wrong, and that's what made him kind of derpy. So,
figure that kind of
they.
Okay, yeah, he may have indulged a little bit too.
I was talking about the other one. Who likes to sue people, so I will not say your name.
Hey, I approve of more Ozzy and horror, though.
Right. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I kind of thought maybe they could have done like an after credits thing or something. I don't know, just show him. But I'm sure he recorded this at his house. But
just show him fucking drunk passed out on the sidewalk. Sharon! Oh, you fucking divorced me.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's just sleeping, and there's like Cthulhu style like apocalypse going on.
That would be the best.
What's going on?
Dude, see that would have been a 5-2. You would just have the end of fucking days outside. You show Cthulhu at the end. All right.
Fuck yeah. Any other spoilers for we need to do something?
I did like the one scene where the girls open cuts like had these veins come out of her and they shoved in the daughter's mouth. That was a cool little hallucination scene. Those couple of hallucination scenes were pretty strong too. I don't know. Maybe if I rewatch it, I'll like it better next time. But for Prisoners of Ghostland, I just got to say Nicolas Cage's arm just all fucking mangled and blown up with the fucking samurai sword stuck in it was awesome. I love that. And the scene that killed me and had me dying, I don't know, like, he was giving a speech and he just like screams and his voice kind of cracked a little bit and goes, "I have one testicle." And I fucking just lost my mind. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? I mean, that he was just fucking absurd the whole movie, and it was.
It's awesome. A good movie to watch with a group of friends. I think that'll also elevate your enjoyment of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I didn't catch this.
Ben Grimm, I'll try to fit a Clockwork Orange between my watching the Howling movies. This guy.
There you go.
When you gotta watch marsupials, you gotta watch marsupials.
Yeah. Watch it after 3.
we love you to death, but come the fuck on, man. But getting back to Nicolas Cage, I felt his pain when his testicule fucking blew up. I'm like, really? That's where you're gonna start with? Fucking A.
Dude, his reaction was hilarious. Like, just over the top as fuck. And like, that's the thing I love about him is like when people just let him go absolutely insane. I mean, that's why I love Willy's, even though I liked Willy's a lot more than I like this. I mean, he's ridiculous in that movie too, even though he doesn't say 2 fucking words the whole goddamn thing. But
and they still haven't made that cola, huh? What is it,
Jolt? Yeah, they need, or yeah, well, something like that. I need to rewatch the movie. Yeah, they need to get on that. I know they have like a t-shirt and they're doing a comic book, but they need to get on that fucking cola because I'll put that shit up right there.
I was gonna say Jolt is a real cola, or it was.
Yeah, I forget what I forget what the hell it was. It was some grape drink that he fucking kept obsessively grabbing out of the fridge.
And Pugs doesn't know the grape drink. Come on.
My bad. You know what? He has the right to say that, though, because like he's been to the movies with me, and that's the time where this shit shows, because I'll take a Sprite with grape in it. It's fucking delicious. Grape drink.
You just half and half it?
No, they have, you know, the Coke machines where you can add flavors to the soda.
AMC machines.
That's my go-to. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, now that we're just talking about Cage, I don't have anything else for spoilers, if you guys got anything.
I'm gonna say something that's gonna get me heat. I don't hate the Wicker Man remake if you watch it as a comedy. It's fucking funny as shit. I know that movie gets so much shit.
That's because the original Wicker Man. That's why
I love that one.
It's a great film. But yeah, I mean, it would be 10 times worse without Nicolas Cage.
He makes it watchably, entertainingly watchable. It's not a good movie, but he gets. It's like pre-Cage Cage moments before he went full Cage. Like it's
You just see the glimmers. So if we don't have any other spoilers, I think you could take the thing down, Todd. But I wanted to talk about
Ben in the head. Can you believe that? All right, sorry.
Karen, any spoilers for that though?
She was right. I know that, but beyond
fuck you, Todd. I don't think I have any spoilers on that one. I wish somebody else would take a shot at a Karen. Maybe Trauma would be perfect. Like an in-house too, because you'd have the social commentary, but then it would be like that Karen slasher that you really want. I hope somebody else takes a shot at that if they haven't already.
I want the Karen to go the way of like Skinner.
I'm just mad we didn't see Karen get blacked.
There was a moment where I'm like, oh, that's why she just needs to fucking to get blacked, like Kruger said.
It ends with her on the sofa.
Dude, and you know what? He could have taunted her too. I would have been fine with it. She deserved it.
Or the son could have taunted the fucking sister soldier over there. I'll admit, nice figure. Face down, neck down, wrong color, but good for you, lady.
Oh, there we go. Go ahead, Dan.
That's what again. I wanted.
I think I informed them at the beginning. But all yes, right. We're sorry.
Who's we?
He's speaking for white people.
Oh, gotcha.
It's all right. We're done with spoilers. I'm gonna pull this off.
What I was gonna say is, on speaking on Nicolas Cage. Oh, you don't need the spoilers up for this, but speaking on Nicolas Cage, when I was rating my stuff on IMDb, I was seeing what was upcoming for him, and I noticed a certain film that seems pretty interesting. It's called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. It's supposed to come out in 2022. And the synopsis for it is a cash-strapped Nicolas Cage agrees to make a paid appearance at a billionaire super fan's birthday party, but is really an informant for the CIA since the billionaire fan is a drug kingpin and gets casted in a Tarantino movie. What the fuck?
That's fucking awesome.
Nick Cage is playing Nick Cage as a double CIA agent infiltrating a super fan's party because the super fan is a drug kingpin and is also casted in a Tarantino movie.
Well, I'm all in.
I fucking love that. Let's do it. 2022, that ain't too far away.
Right. He did,
hopefully January,
play a guy who got a message from God to kill Osama bin Laden. So, you know, he's those are the kind of movies that he just needs to stick to now.
Was that World Trade Center?
No, it's that other 9/11 themed movie with Russell Brand playing God or Jesus. I can't remember.
Arthur? I don't know what's get up to the Greek
Army of One, I believe it was called.
Oh, well.
I'm not a fan of Russell Brand. Like that guy.
Kind of just went away, didn't he?
I wish he would OD.
Damn.
And not survive. So we're clear.
Fuck that guy. What did he do?
One, I don't like him to begin with. And two, he was with Katy Perry for a long time and he made her cry. Fuck that dude. I like Katy Perry.
And he's no Dudley Moore.
Yeah. He looks like fucking Rocky Dennis, just slim down.
All right. Anyway.
Ken remake coming soon.
Sure. Anything else, gentlemen? Or shall we get the fuck out of here?
I believe that is it. So, yeah. Good night, guys. And Iris loves you.
Mr. Todd.
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
And I'll see you in Disneyland with Karen.